Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Soline Shannon here tonight from Godsmack. Tickled pink to see you again. Godsmack is from the Boston area, and I've had such an assful of guys from Boston over the last about a year and a half. Somehow everyone I met, everyone associated with the Kimmel show and some old man show guys, I never met a guy from Boston for the first 36 years of my life, and then they all came flying in. And they're all maniacs with the sports and the Pedros and Nomar, and they're all baseball maniacs. And I'm so excited to hear that Sully looks at baseball as a pussy sport like I do. And it's like I always yell at these guys when they're living and dying with the Sox game. I always go, pivotal game number 22 in the 168 game season. You know what I mean?
Right.
162, whatever it is. How can you live and die on a game number 11, game number 37? There's 160 more games to play.
Yeah.
Oh, and now preseason. This drive, we're going to talk about Godsmack in just a second, but
probably not.
All right, maybe not, but this preseason baseball drives me nuts, too. It's like, hey, everybody, it's preseason. Do you need a preseason with 160 games? How much warming up you got to do? Like, you got to, hey, we're running a marathon later today. How about we run a 10K
before
on the way? Now, how about you carry me to the starting line?
And then they wonder why their elbows blow out and all that stuff. Yeah,
how many games you got to get in before the 160-something games you're about to play over the next 4 years?
I'm definitely guilty of being excited last year, though, because I really thought the Sox were going to go to the World Series.
I'm with you. I was sucked in. Everyone I knew was drawn, of course, the Boston guys.
New England fans are fanatics about everything. Yeah. They are diehard people.
Yeah.
Pats fans, forget it. I mean, there's literally guys slamming their heads off the cement walls going into like a Patriots game.
I know. Somebody's going to have to send some team of sociologists out to the New England area to figure out what's going on.
These are the guys that created Lexington and Concord.
Do you remember a while back, too, they banned Monday Night Football in New England. Yeah. They would not show Foxborough Stadium because people would, like, they would literally grab the cameras and, like, stick it on their butts and, you know, pull their pants down and throw them the finger and whatever, and they shut it off for a while.
I just like the guys that are listening to the AM radio because the Dodgers are playing the Mets over at Vero Beach, and it's like preseason baseball, everybody. Could anything count less? Could anything be slower? Is there any? Shouldn't you just take a Quaalude at this point and just lie down in a coffin?
At least 6 minutes of action packed into those 3 hours.
Yeah, it's always like, whoa.
My buddy TC right now is flipping out. He's the hugest baseball fan.
The sword is heading down. He's heading out to the mound. He wants to talk about it. It's preseason! They're down 11 runs. It's the fifth inning. He wants to talk about
it. There's no contact, you know? The only time it's exciting is when there's a fight and they run out of the dugouts with their baseball bats.
And even then, they always do that sort of wussy fight where you try to keep your head far away. And, like, you always know that.
Slapping each other.
It's always that wuss fight when you try to keep your arm out as far as you can and your head back as far as you can from your hand.
Yeah.
Someone's got to teach these guys to fight. All right, Godsmack, everybody. Playing, by the way, speaking of sports, at the Forum this Friday and Saturday, which is a large venue, by the way. Nice.
17505, as Chick Hearn used to say.
Chick Hearn, a legend. A legend. And there's a couple good things about him dying, though. One, well, not good. I mean, it's good.
Relief.
It's too bad. No, I enjoyed it. When Magic Johnson was eulogizing him,
yeah,
and instead of bringing up Cardinal Mahoney, he called him Colonel Mahoney. I like to bring out Colonel Mahoney. It was called him Colonel Mahoney. This guy had his own talk show. He's calling him Colonel Mahoney. I was driving my car laughing like a maniac listening to Colonel Mahoney. Chick was amazing. Then we're getting to Godsmack because we got to do some plugging here. But right. Chick Hearns was one of these guys. My only beef with Chick Hearns is he had this streak of like a 5 billion Laker games called. But at the end, he was sickly. He wasn't feeling good. But he didn't want to break his streak. So they would wheel him out. He'd be like, Shaq makes the tip. And then they'd wheel him back home. And he'd get back in his bed and they'd hook up an IV to him. And he'd be like, hey, the streak's still alive. And I'd be like, look. If you never missed a day of work, but you just showed up once in a while, vomited into the boss's trash can, then turned around and went home again.
Doesn't count.
That doesn't really count. That's the whole, the essence of the streak, Drew. Is the,
right. Not a technicality.
Not you showing up, waving at everyone, and then going back home and getting on the defibrillator. It's you actually doing your job, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, God bless Chick Hearn, the greatest that ever lived. But, yeah, come on, the streak was over. The streak's over when you can't. When you can't put in a night.
Anyway,
the
Forum has 17,500 seats.
17,500 seats. That's right. And all of them will have an ass in them.
I guess probably more because they put them on the floor, too. When there's a rocks concert, right?
Well, don't put pressure on the band. That's a big draw. Yeah, legendary Forum. For you guys, it's nothing but a lot of history out here. You know, the Lakers.
No, it's something for us, especially playing with Metallica. These guys are like our childhood heroes.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We've never had Metallica in here, have we, Drew? I've run into them a time or two, and they've
they're fun. You should
said stuff. Yeah,
tell them we'll have them up.
Let's get Metallica. Yeah. Tell them we'll have them up.
They're gods of heavy metal.
If they're interested in coming up,
all right. This is Metallica.
There you go.
All right. What else? All right, we're going to hear something off the acoustic CD, which is coming out in a about a week and a half on the 16th. Or maybe that's 2 weeks on the 16th. What the hell's the date today?
Fifth.
Fourth. Yeah, a week and a half. Fourth. Very cool. Why acoustic?
I don't know. You know, just I guess musicians always dabble around with different styles of music, and we've had so many great songs acoustically that just weren't ever quite right for the Godsmack full-length album because it's always been such heavy rock. And so we just decided to put these ideas down and you know, we were going to take a vacation because we had been touring for 4.5 years at the time. And we were going to go to Hawaii as a band because we had never done that. And then the label says, well, we want you to record. And we're like, well, all right, you pay for our vacation and we'll record in Hawaii.
Wow.
So we ended up getting a label to pay for our vacation. And got the acoustic record done.
It's nice you guys were,
in between, you know, scuba diving.
Living on top of each other for 4 years, and then you decide to go on a vacation together.
Yeah, we tried, but, you know, they made us work. But
the whole idea. I mean, most bands are just looking, everyone's heading in a different direction. After that long of touring together.
Well, it was good. You know, we got Shannon in the band over a year ago, and you know, it was just a nice bonding moment to, like, get everyone together, and we had taken a year off at that time because we'd been touring so much, so it was just a good, it was a good vibe there, too. Like, I don't know if anyone's ever been to Hawaii, but it's so amazing out there. It was my first time, and it was...
No one's ever been there.
It really set the tone for...
Well, Elvis was there. Yeah, that's,
where were you, Maui?
That Forum show's huge for me because I'm Santa Barbara guy.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah, so I've seen like Ozzy and stuff at the Forum, so I'm psyched for that.
Yeah, because if you're in, Ozzy, Santa Barbara has some decent venues, but I don't know if there are Ozzy signs.
Barbara Bowl is about the killer. It's the most killer place to play,
really.
Besides like Red Rocks in Colorado.
I've never been to Red Rocks, and wanted to go there.
You should go there, man. It's really cool. It's magical, really.
Let's go there, Drew.
They
carved
the stage out of the mountain. You know,
the backstage is like rocks coming out of the walls.
That Sunday Bloody Sunday video by U2. You ever see that with the torches? That's Red Rocks.
Oh, it is when it's raining and stuff.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. I just assume, you know, every time I see him, you know what I thought? I figure, well, it's raining. They must be in Ireland.
Right.
You know, like it can't rain in Colorado.
Right.
Like, I always, when I see weather in a video, I think, all right, they must be on their home turf. Yeah, that and that guy's accent. Whatever his name, Bono. Got that accent.
Bono.
What name is that? Selena?
Selena.
Selena.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Is that how you do Selena?
All right.
All right. What's happening, Selena?
Whatever.
You're 24.
Well, I've been listening to you guys for a while, and I know, Dr. Drew, you're an addiction specialist.
Uh-huh.
And I've been clean now for about 60 days.
Right.
And my libido's out of control.
What was your drug of choice?
Yeah. Come on, you got to clap for that.
What was your drug of choice?
Alcohol.
Alcohol. Well, what happens early in recovery? Are you in a program right now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're working a program. You got a sponsor. You're doing steps.
Yes.
Okay, what happens early in recovery is your brain is still trying to use the same system that it's been reliant upon all these years to regulate itself. So when you have unpleasant feelings, when you're dealing with things in recovery, your brain doesn't know any way, other way to deal with that other than using this reward system that you've been saturating with alcohol.
I'm really horny.
And the way now you can also activate that is with thrill. Thrill things like sex, gambling, shopping, eating, extreme sports.
I combine all of those.
What do you call that?
I don't know. It's like I'm doubling down. I'm getting a hand job. I'm eating a hoagie. It's crazy. That we got like a big 6 foot sub under my sandwich. I got a hand on my.
Yeah, as long as you don't eat the wrong hoagie.
But be careful, son. Dramatic relationships, all sex is really all part of the addictive process. And it's also if you indulge in those sorts of behaviors, you're missing an opportunity to have the feelings that are coming up behind all that. Because really, recovery is about learning to have feelings again and regulate them in the context of a dyadic experience with your sponsor.
Dyadic.
Interpersonal experience.
Yeah.
And so just kind of talk about it, think about it, but don't act on it, okay?
All right. I'm saying okay for it. Yeah, a lot of people get sober and then they get into like skydiving and extreme snowboarding.
But early in recovery, it's treacherous. Stuff, right? Yeah, early in recovery, that's treacherous.
Why?
Because that's when the brain is really driving them. The motivational priorities are screwed up from the biology, and it's driving them to do extreme things that they wouldn't otherwise do.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people do that, and they read books. It's almost like transferring from one addiction to the next. Too.
Of course, will do that if they're not in recovery. They are guaranteed to do that. But she sort of is containing the behavior. She's working a process, but all these sort of temptations of behaviorally are coming in. And she has to sort of curtail that, too.
There's nothing worse than the sober guy with the new lease on life who's Mr. Extreme Sports now.
No.
He trades in the syringe for the Yakima rack that's going up on top of the Jeep, and he wants to go mountain biking. He's just constantly talking about trips he's going to take. We're going kayaking. All right. Just go. Could you get back on the heroin, please?
You know, I spent the day filming again today in the Olsen Twins, but Jack Osborne was there. We spent a lot of the day.
Drew filming a movie with the Olsen Twins.
Yeah,
Stryker
came and visited me and supported me on the
set.
Yes,
really.
He's actually a friend. He actually will come and support.
Why
me
would they let him on?
Look, with all my other boyfriends, I've only given them hand jobs.
All right.
And sure, he thought I did a good job, by the way. So I'll have, you know,
well, what's he gonna say when you go? How'd I do? How'd I do? You did a decent job, I guess. What do you want him to say? You suck.
Yeah, he would have.
Look, you're a bad actor, Drew, but you're bookend between the Olsen twins, so how bad are you going to stink, you know?
So what was I talking about?
I don't know.
No, I think Stryker's trying to get in with the Olsen twins, so maybe
Of course, that's why. He should have stopped by to visit Drew. He stopped by to visit the Olsen twins.
So Jack was there, and he was recounting stories you had said, mentioned last time he was up here about the 8th and 9th steps when people are making amends. He thought that was the greatest thing you ever heard.
Oh, where people have to call you? Yes. What is the 8th and 9th step?
It's where you're making amends to people that you've harmed in the course of your disease.
They're coming clean, that's, you get that phone call. Adam? Yeah? It's John. Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I
did
gay.
Some things I wasn't too proud of. Yeah. Hey, it's cool, buddy. No, it's not. No, it's not. What I did was wrong. And I'm genuinely sorry, man. Do you forgive? Yeah, I do. It's getting weird, though. It's getting real weird fast. And it's like when I try to diffuse it. Hey, buddy, we all have a few drinks, do a few things. No, it's not right. What I did wasn't right. I put you in a bad position, and for that, I'm sorry. And it's like, this is a bad position. This is uncomfortable. At least I was drunk when you were drunk, whenever you tried to do whatever you were trying to do to me. We were both drunk. It was cool. Now I'm sober, and this is weird. And you're sober, too, so it's weird. It makes it weirder, you know, when you know the person's sober. So, Drew, here's what I'm saying. How about, aha.
Ah.
here's what you guys need to start doing with that 12-step program, because I keep telling I'm trying to get him to skip from the like 7th step to the 10th step, and you leave that 8 and 9 out where you have to confront everyone and tell them how sorry you were for all the weirdness that went on between the two of you. You know, in like boxing and karate and stuff, when they work out, they don't punch people that are hanging from a rope. They have like a heavy bag. You know what I mean?
You have a fake person. You come clean
yeah. to. I came on to you.
There are techniques like that.
Yeah, let's do that.
But they are not as effective.
No one call me and tell me. Let's get a bag. You talk to the bag.
Mm-hmm. How about one of those old clown tippy blow-up
balloons? The ones with the sand in the bottom of them that always pop back up.
Right.
You talk about, you just come clean, you can cry, you can get weird, you can hug it, whatever you want to do, it's all good.
They have that. It's called the Elmo doll.
Yeah. You get to tickle it. All right, who are we talking to this guy?
No, we're about to.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
All right. We got to hear a Godsmack song, too.
Shortly.
Andrew?
Hey, guys.
You're 15?
Yeah, I got a question. I play piano and I'm a drummer, and I also masturbate a lot.
All right.
A lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would seem difficult to fit the piano and the drums in your busy beating schedule. You know, I mean, like, aren't your hands busy, or do you do that thing? Yeah. You do that thing like where you're beating off and playing the piano, like someone was showing me this the other day. They're talking about the great keyboarders of the 80s where they would get the two keyboards and they'd put one over here and one over here, and they'd be rocking and playing it as far away from each other as they could.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Everyone
knew how hard they were rocking, because they're like, I was like, why don't they just put them next to each other?
They're playing chopsticks in one hand.
Yeah,
but,
and they're playing all the way. That's a good rocking 80s move. Godsmack, you guys got get in that thing where you put
the dueling pianos.
Get a keyboard on one end. One guy plays them, but he's all splayed out, you know? Yeah. Sure, I was thinking about that. Andrew?
Yeah.
All right, so you're beating off how many times a day?
I would say probably 2 or 3. Not too much, but I was diagnosed with tendonitis. And I was wondering if carpal tunnel syndrome and stuff like that could arise from, like, a combination of all three. I mean, not simultaneously.
Well, carpal tunnel.
Hold on, this is bogus.
Yeah, carpal tunnel is different than tendonitis. But
you have beater's wrist or jacker's palm or what do they call that? What's the doctor call that? Spanker's lament.
What? Spanker's lament.
All right, listen, Andrew's full of crap. Yeah, hey, no, look, you're 15. I don't know what your hands got in it, but I'm 39 now, and just starting to feel the effects of the frequent constant masturbation. That's 30.
It's fatigue from
the piano.
Wouldn't
you agree it's probably from the drumming?
Yeah. It can happen from drumming, for sure.
And I'll
not
tell you,
from wanking.
The piano, too, man. I've been playing a lot of piano recently, and your hands get really tight. You get cramps in your wrists. You get really sore palms. And
mm-hmm. Well, but if you spread the keyboards out far enough.
I don't know what he's doing when he's masturbating, but I think it would be some pretty brutal scene if his hands are hurting from it. I think your genital area would be a little bit more sensitive than your
tendonitis hands. Since you're here real commonly by the thumb and...
It's tough when you have to, when you're done being off, you have to bend your fingers like a pipe cleaner from around your dork. You know what I mean? Just, it's that tough. Like,
that's
like an old boxer.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it should be a little thicker than your drumstick, dude, probably.
Right. That's a good point.
That's good.
Is that true?
For most people.
That's very upsetting. Yeah, all right, let's hear a song from Godsmack.
That's
How
good.
How about that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Good times.
Yeah? Chris, feeling good? All right. This song is called Running Blind.
Dance.
The other side, name of the CD, it's coming out on the 16th of March. Shannon Sully here. We will. They're going to be on Leno tomorrow night.
Nice.
And going to be with Metallica at the Forum this Friday and Saturday. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll speak to Liz. Her and her boyfriend both have HPV.
Good times.
That's boring. Negative effects of taking mushrooms.
How about a boob implant question?
Boob implant. Where's that?
Six.
Six, yeah. Jeff. What? Jeff's a dude.
Yeah, but
yeah,
he doesn't want to get it.
I want to hear that one.
Smoked weed laced with something. You know, how many people have called the show that smoked weed laced with something and didn't really have anything in it?
Right. Just had a panic attack.
Yeah, let me get you guys a little news flash. Weed is good. It's powerful. You know what I mean? It's not that shake me and Drew are smoking. It's good. It's butt. Even in the commercials, the weed commercials, like where the mom finds the pot, and she's holding a butt up now. It's not just some shake. You know what I mean?
Right.
I remember that I saw some anti-drug ad, and it's like, hey, mom's got a righteous-looking bud she's holding up. Like, wasn't even just, you know, they used to just take some parsley, put it in a baggie, wave it around. Okay, that was pot. That doesn't mean pot anymore. It was all, you know, stems and leaves and seeds. Drew said he almost went blind because the seeds constantly exploding. I mean, boom, one after the other. Yes, Drew?
Of course.
All right. So I'll tell you, we'll come back. We'll talk to whoever we want to talk to. Right.
Yeah.
With Godsmack.
Yes, sir, Mr. Grohl.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Just got the nice countdown from Engineer Anderson. Three, two, one, go.
And then the music cut out. That was weird.
They were talking, and I was trying to give you time, and then they shut up, and then I put you on.
Thanks, buddy.
Good times.
Look, here's what I love about radio. And Drew, how many times have I said this? The show starts at 10, it ends at midnight, and we get paid. And there's no, like, hey, we got to redo that last segment because Adam talked too much about playing the keyboards with both hands. Uh-uh. It's done. We already got paid for it. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, went out in space.
Went out in space, and it's done.
Yeah.
Little words went out in space. Little money went into the wall. That's what we're here for, ladies and gentlemen. And the thing is if something happens to, like, the transmitter right now, we just go home. We get paid. It's a great gig. Anyone who's used to getting paid by the hour and then has one of those gigs where you just get paid anyway, jobs, greatest thing ever. Godsmack in studio tonight, not being paid to be here, by the way.
That's a fact.
But if they sell some CDs because, well, you know, you do the math, right?
Barely have eaten.
They come in here. They hang out.
They starve us. You guys don't give us any soda, no cookies, nothing.
We got a vending machine back there.
I saw some cookies. I think they were cookies.
Oh, true. I examined those, too. The first I saw a peanut butter cookie.
Right.
And I got excited.
Yeah.
And then I started to read on, and it was like, low sugar, no carb, low sodium. And all right. Look, at a certain point, you know what I mean?
It was shredded wheat with, like,
peanut ground into it. So someone took a rice cracker,
right.
Ate some peanut butter, and then hawked a loogie onto the rice cracker. That's what it is. That's your peanut butter. Like, here's what I'm saying. Hey, if you ain't doing it, don't do it. Like, here's the deal. If you can make a peanut butter cookie that has no sugar and no carbs and no salt and no oil, God bless you. But if you can't, don't do it. You see what I'm saying?
I get you.
It just gets you going. Yes?
Yeah.
You want to go? You can go get the...
No, thank you.
Drew was looking at it. Drew was like, Drew goes into that kitchen. He's like a raccoon in a cabin. You know, he's like, he doesn't even use his hands. He uses his nose and his teeth. He's just opening cupboards with his mouth.
To tear open the rice.
Knocking over coffee cans and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Drew's an eater. We'll go back there. We'll find something for you. All right? During the break. All right. If not, Drew will dig into his wallet. We'll buy you some, peanut butter cups or something like that. Right?
Perfect.
All right. So who are we talking to? Liz?
Let's do Liz, after all. Come on.
Negative effects of taking shrooms. This is good. David?
Hi.
What's happening?
What? I'm sorry.
You want to know?
This is one of the effects.
You better trust me, Adam.
Oh, shut up. Negative effects of taking shrooms. That's your question? Have you taken shrooms?
Yeah.
And what were the negative effects? Do you have any?
No, I enjoyed them fine, but I wanted to know what they do to my body. So,
what they do to your mind, Drew?
It's not about not enjoying them. The fact is that hallucinogens, when you have a positive experience, are more dangerous because you're more likely to do them again.
Yeah, but not shrooms. I took shrooms. The first time I took shrooms, I was like 19, and I announced, "This is now my way of life."
This mushrooms.
I'm gonna move. I'm going to move on to some sort of shroom kibbutz, and I'm just going to shroom all day. I'm just stare at my hand all day. And 8 years later, I think I tried them again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard
for you to motivate to do things.
It's hard to get going with shrooms. It's hard to get momentum with them. They're good time, but it's like they don't have any momentum. You know what shrooms are like? Shrooms, they're like fish and chips. You eat some fish and chips, you go, wow. Man, this is good stuff. What am I doing? I should be eating this more. This, oh man, with the tartar sauce and the lemon, this is great. Fast forward 9 years, you haven't eaten them. What's up? You see?
I'm
gonna do some shrooms and some fish and chips and just one day.
Catch up. Yeah. Well, David, the thinking is, although I've not seen a lot of or much significant psychiatric or biological effects from mushrooms. Generally speaking, hallucinogens have brain damaging influences. And so we see typically chronic depression, anxiety attacks.
Nobody does enough shrooms, really.
And I think that's basically the case. People don't do enough of them for us to commonly see the problems.
Yeah. So, David, maybe if you do enough, Drew can study you.
I've done like once a month, like 7 times.
Yeah.
Shannon has a pretty interesting outlook on tripping in general.
Shannon, what do you got?
I think that, like, everybody should have to trip once.
Yeah.
Everyone.
I agree. Definitely.
And I wish that my parents would have, you know. It just, you look at the trees breathing, the bricks are breathing, you know. Everything's alive.
Drew's the man, so he doesn't understand. Plus, Drew's wound so tight that if he ever came undone, it would be a disaster.
And unravel all over the place.
It would be a bird's nest of emotions and feelings and stuff. It would be a disaster. It would be a disaster, and Drew can't afford that. Drew's like an armature, you know what I mean? He's got your copper wire around him real tight, and if you just snip it, it's going to come.
You just stumbled onto a $1 million idea right there. You should write a movie about that. You could turn into a hippie, grow the beard. He just changes his whole way of life.
Yeah, it's what happened to Ignatowski on Taxi.
That'd be a takeoff of Jekyll.
Yeah, that's the thing. See, you do mushrooms, and all of a sudden
it opens you to everything.
Man,
there you go.
No, Drew and I argue about this a lot because he's like, "Oh, you're high. You know, you're not any more creative or any more whatever." But we've talked about this a few times. So I won't dig into it too deep, but. You have to block out society, otherwise you'll go insane. You have to, I mean, as you go about your normal day, it's like another bus driving into Tel Aviv, 38 people die in a bus, an explosion, you know, suicide bombers, everything from, you know, bizarre plastic surgery to, you know, constant suicide bombings,
child rapists,
and terrorists,
Lee press on nails.
Lee press on nails, which is a commercial I saw when I was high and freaked out. The women are sticking red claws to the ends of their fingers to be more desirable to the male species. Oh. My head's going
to
explode.
Works to our disadvantage when they come at you later when they're mad at you.
Yeah, I mean, You got to tune out
built-in
almost
weapons.
Everything, otherwise your head will explode because you'll be thinking about the guy sitting at JPL communicating with the Mars rover, which is 70 billion miles away, and then the guy in the Middle East who's strapped 60 pounds of explosives to himself, and he's going to go walk into the middle of a crowded marketplace. Your head will explode. You get high on mushrooms. Now your head's a sponge. It's like, huh? Now, all of a sudden, you're looking at this stuff that you never thought about. And let me tell you something, too, by the way. If you do that, you realize we're nuts. We are crazy. And we just push it, you know, we just keep moving forward with it. You have to. Otherwise, you'll sit down, you'll stop where you stand, and you'll start crying if you just start thinking about all this stuff.
I have a question for you about hallucinogenics and mushrooms and that kind of thing. Is everything that alters, you know, your consciousness or whatever to a certain degree, actually destroying brain cells that gets you to that place?
No, not everything.
Yeah.
Even something as natural as, I mean, like, say mushrooms in comparison to ecstasy or whatever, which is a bunch of garbage.
As you get into the funguses and the mushrooms, you get into more and more dangerous and potentially life-threatening chemicals. I mean, Amanita phalloides will kill you instantly. Because nature created these plants with chemicals to protect the plants to kill you so you won't eat them, or to hurt your brain so you won't go back and eat that plant again. I mean, that's why nature put those chemicals on
right,
the plant.
Right. So what actually is getting you high, though? Is it your brain cells deteriorating?
No.
They're
over-firing certain chemicals. And the problem is with stimulants and hallucinogens is that the neurochemicals themselves aren't packaged well into the little vesicles. They start getting into the cytoplasm of the cell. They turn into free radicals, and then they destroy the cell then.
Hey, but Drew.
The creativity thing, though, yeah. back to that.
Yeah, man.
Why is it that all the best bands' records, like Aerosmith and Zeppelin and the Stones,
heroin addicts,
done when they were totally full-blown, and then they clean up and sober up, and they're like,
and music stinks.
Music's not that good, you know?
I've treated a lot of musicians, and most of them...
Two more after today.
After tonight. Really, you're really just talking about them being younger and better, because believe me, when people are younger and sober, they're much more productive and great, and they look back and they go, oh my God, I've wasted all this time. I've been through that with many, many musicians, and all the while they're fearful that they're not going to be creative. They get on the other side of it, and they're like, holy Christ, thank God I cleaned up.
Yeah.
So,
But look at Hasselhoff. He's a sober musician. You know what I mean? You do got to factor that in, the Hasselhoff
that
factor.
Dude couldn't have done a drug in his life,
yeah,
man.
This guy probably not so much as smoked a cigarette and listened to music he's cranking out. You know what I'm saying, Drew? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want you to think about that long and hard. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think about the band thing is I do agree with Drew, although I hate to, is they get together, they start to get popular, they get deeper into their drugs, and right about the time they're at full flight with their drugs, it's about the time they're coming together as a band.
Right.
So I think it's just coincidental timing-wise.
And then I've treated a lot of them. They get sober, do some of their best stuff, and then relapse. And then people go, see, they were on drugs. But no, they were just, were sober when they were creating stuff, relapse on the other side of it.
Liz?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
So you and your boyfriend both have warts?
No, we don't have the kind that causes warts, and this is kind of how it happened. I'm under the impression that you can't tell that guys, there's a certain strain of HPV that guys have that you can't tell that they have it.
You're confused. Mm-hmm. All HPV can or can't cause warts in certain individuals.
So well, all HPV could potentially.
What's that?
I have the type that's precancerous.
Right. There, it's all wart virus. It all can cause warts. But on some people, you don't see the warts. And the kind okay. that causes... They all can cause precancerous changes, but the ones that actually cause the cancer are the ones that stick around. The virus that persists through time, like more than 5 years. The problem okay. is, as a practical matter, you can't tell which one you have. So you have to assume always you have the one that causes cancer.
Well, I had a colon biopsy in November, and the thing that I'm concerned about is my boyfriend and I are planning on getting married, and I'm concerned that throughout time we're just going to reinfect each other and that it's going to manifest and just get worse.
No, that is not how it works.
Oh, that's
once
good.
You got it, and that's that.
And it so it won't...
All right. There you go. She's bumming my mushroom high talking about these
Sorry.
Warts. Let me tell you, you get high, seriously, you start thinking about that Mars rover. You know what I mean?
Yeah, out a million miles away, moving around.
Yeah, but yet have not figured out to the right length to make shoelaces on high tops yet.
Right.
That,
yeah.
We got to have an extra 11 inches hanging out that I got to do a triple knot and then tuck
and
it into the sock.
We have to have
that,
different...
That we haven't mastered.
Different preset buttons on every
That's
radio.
That's right.
Every
car radio's got to have its own way of presetting. But the Rover...
Good times.
200 billion miles away, no problem there. Just sitting up there.
Moving around.
Just moving around.
Cruising.
Yeah.
Taking pictures.
A little strife in the Middle East. Should have that settled by the weekend. No problems there. We got a report on it. Hey, guess what? Turns out there's hostilities broken out in the Middle East, right?
Yeah. Shocking.
Shocking. Shocking. They should get their they get the bearings straight pretty soon. I'm sure it's just a matter of days where those people get it together.
Have a good time.
Yeah, it's good times. It's great times. All right, all the reasons why. And plus, I can't take mushrooms now because I'll be like, I'll be, because I did the, I was on TV.
That'll
you know
freak
what I mean?
Like
I'm on the radio
That'll
and stuff.
Freak you
I'll freak out.
Yeah.
I have a freak out.
Just because of the fact that you've been on TV radio.
Yeah, we're freaking out.
Start thinking about that. My image was broadcast across the continent.
I'd be in the mirror nude. Could I have your autograph, man? All right, Godsmack is here. I'll probably call you up too, Drew. Hey, Drew's on the phone.
Shh, shut up.
Shh, no, man. No, no.
All right, Godsmack. No, you know. All right. I listened to this show for 10 years before I was on. I would freak out with that.
Now my head's exploding.
Now I'm freaking out. All right. Godsmack here. God willing, they'll be here when we come back. And we're going to get them some candy. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. It's
we're
Thursday.
Laughing because we can't hear the intro music and we don't know when we're on or we're not on. But we do hear, we occasionally hear parts of Anderson's Countdown.
Hey, there he is.
This is good.
All righty. Well, Godsmack is in town tonight. Sully and Shannon, both here. I know this, you know, I don't know, it may sound as a question's been asked, but is the only guys from Boston area have the Sully name? They don't have any Sullys out here. And is it Sullivan? Is it short for anything? Where does Sullivan come from?
Yeah, it usually is short for Sullivan.
It is.
It's Irish. but right. I'm not a Sullivan. My first name's Salvatore.
And you just
and so I was nicknamed Sully since I was a kid. I don't know what I think I was nicknamed after an uncle of an uncle's friend, or you know how Italians are. They you gotta stick their name in everything. And
right.
My father has like 17 middle names. So
right, yeah, I know I'm Italian. Yeah, there's that's Dickie from the Boston. Everybody. Yeah, everyone knows a Sully from the Boston, Mass area, but they don't seem to reside in California. We don't really have any Sullys. We got like Hidalgos and stuff like that. We got a lot of Mexicans. We don't really have any Irish.
Well, out here, there's no European ethnicity.
Right. Yeah. Well, what do we got?
We
don't have any Europeans. Yeah, we got.
We have Europeans, but they're not ethnic. They don't identify themselves.
That's right. Yeah. They're just whitey.
Yeah.
Right. And then we got Mexicans, and we got. Fair amount of Asians, and then we got just the kooky ones.
Midwesterners.
I didn't even know what it is.
Well, the Johnny Quest.
We got the Johnny Quest villain nationality. Like, not sure what you are, but I know it's bad. you know what the thing about Los Angeles? Here's how you know you have to move. We got a little everything in Los Angeles. We got a little Ethiopia. You can drive through on the way mm-hmm. home, Drew.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't Ethiopia little Ethiopia, by the way? Don't they already have one? It's called Ethiopia. They've got a building higher than three stories. That's a little Ethiopia. Everyone's sitting in the dirt eating. That's little Ethiopia. Do we need a littler one? Like, it's really having a little Ethiopia is like having the world's crappiest amusement park on the other side of the country and then opening one here, calling it Junior. Really? You got a sucky cesspool over on the other side of the world over there? We got to open a smaller one here? Why don't we pick a good one? The point is, we got a little everything, no little Italy. That's all
yeah,
you need.
What's up with that?
No little
There's
Italy.
There's another million-dollar idea.
No
Open
little...
up some Italian
Let
restaurants.
Me tell you something.
Yeah, but nothing
charge.
Here, nothing here European.
No, it's all
You know
all
what?
Sucky.
You're right. I never found a good Italian restaurant around here.
Oh, he's got one.
Here's what we
Adam's got.
Got
one.
Yeah, I'll give you a
good Mexican.
Oh, no, we
yeah.
got a good Italian. Good Italian.
A good Italian, yeah. All right, here's...
You have to hook me up.
Here's the thing. Here's the two things. When I'm in charge, here's what we do. Little Italy and... Bullet train to Vegas. Those and we raise the speed limit. Those are the three things I focus on. Amalfi. That's Man. The Italian place. I got a part ownership in it. It's fantastic. It's right there.
You
on,
get all these great ideas,
right
man. You won't even need a talk show anymore if you stop putting these things out.
Execution.
Bullet train to Vegas is huge.
Execution is not Adam Strong's suit.
I'm going to take that idea.
No, listen. Look, some people are doers. I'm talkers.
You're creative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your creative time. Yeah.
Well, you think Da Vinci went out and made every single one of those inventions he thought up? No, he left that to the Goyim. Not even Jewish. I know the Goyim need to do it. Steven?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah, hi. Dr. Drew, I just want to say that I really like you. You help so many people. And Adam, I don't think there's a single thing you haven't done that I didn't love.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
yeah, whatever.
My problem
you
is
red-handed.
That I masturbate about five or six times a week.
Uh-huh.
And well, the first part of my ejaculation is white, whereas the second half is kind of discolored, kind of a brown color.
I was wondering yellow or brown?
It's not blood, but I was wondering what the reason for that is.
Well, wait a minute. What's the third?
I
like that he has a two-stager, by the way.
Yeah, it's the beginning of it's white, but...
It's like a solid rocket booster, gets it out of the atmosphere, and then the capsule breaks off and enters the hamper.
Yeah.
So usually the browner color is old blood.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen when I urinate or anything.
No, it's from semen. It's just in the semen.
And it's not that bad a thing, right?
No, it's not that big a deal usually.
Do I have to go to the doctor or something?
Not a bad idea just to get checked out. But the vast majority of blood in the semen or brown semen ends up being nothing.
It is, however, uncomfortable when he has to draw a sample. Drew's been through that procedure many times.
Not many times, but I've been through it.
Yeah.
For a fertility campaign.
Do you have to, if you got some blood in your semen and you're going to the doctor, do you got to
gotta
draw a sample?
No.
No?
No.
Imagine if women had to draw up a sample. They could never do it. It's true. Like imagine, guys are so crazy. It's like, guy come walking in, it's 8:45 in the morning, he's wearing a suit, he's got, yeah, he's got his tie on and stuff. It's like, yeah, oh yeah, here's a magazine and a graduated cylinder. I'm going to need you step inside that phone booth there and beat off real quick for me, and then just slap it back on it.
Have him slap back, hand it across to the Asian tech.
Slide the thing open, hand it to the Asian tech, and you're on your way. Imagine telling a woman. Like, it's like 9 in the morning. Hey, sweetie, I'm going to need you to peel off a big O before you head into the office. Here you go. Here's a Playgirl. Here's a Sports Illustrated.
Impossible.
They look at you like, what the? I need it. Someone's got to light a candle. I got to draw a bath. What time is it? It's not even near.
Morning's not my time.
Not my time. This is how you know that guys are totally here. The guy's like, hey, what? You need some semen? there you go. Oh, you wanted me to wait till I went in the room? Well, you should have said, listen, when you handed me the cup, I just assumed that, well, look, point is I'm running late. I got to get to a funeral. My family died in a fiery car crash yesterday. So I'm grieving pretty good. There's another. There's a little something for the side. There's a little extra. Well, just you got it for next time. All right, so you're cool? I'll do another one real quick. Like I said, we're putting the bodies, we're putting the kids in the ground. I got to hustle up. If you want me to stop by and squeeze one off on the way back.
Where's the video? Show me the video.
Right, there, we're good.
All right, we got to go.
All right, Godsmack is here. Just saying smack. All right, Godsmack's here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Love Line, fastest growing outlaw radio in North America. Oh, yeah, Andrew. Godsmack in here tonight. This close to dropping trowel.
Guys,
I'll drop trowel.
He'll do it. Don't I swear to God, he'll trowel. Do it. Watch I'll it. He'll do trowel. It. I'll be careful now. He's wild. He's out of control. He will drop trowel.
I'll drop trowel. I'll say half the FCC. I'll drop some trowel right now. Oh, yeah. Godsmack in here. Got news and weather coming up the top of the The other side, but it's acoustic, and I tell you something, I rock so hard. I don't know what acoustic guitar is, but man, I tell you, these guys put it together. I tell you, it's great to have back on the show. Hell, dropping trowel. I'll drop trowel.
Guys, he will drop trowel. Be careful, he's wild.
News and weather coming up. That's right, man. I'm going to do a morning show called the Drop and Trowel with Ace Rockola. Blah, blah, blah.
and maybe, like, assign, like, 11 words per morning that you can use. And that's it.
Yeah.
Just those 11 words, yeah.
Yeah. People call in, and I just keep repeating, you're on Drop and Trowel with Ace Rockola.
Blah, 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 blah.
It's 8:45. It's 15 minutes away from the top of the hour, and you're on Drop and Trowel.
Hey, blah, 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 blah,
I keep
blah,
doing
blah.
I keep doing, yeah, I keep doing the ID. The ID's over and over and over again, yeah? Drop and trowel. And then we do this drop and trowel in the morning. You know, get the singers.
Ace Rockola.
Well, I want to welcome Godsmack to Drop a Trowel with Ace Rockola. Great to have you guys back.
Drop trowel.
Then we get you. Then we get you guys to do liners when we're done. Like you go like whenever I'm in Los. You go. This is Sully from Godsmack. Whenever I'm in Los Angeles, I always drop trowel to drop and trowel with Ace Rockola.
I always drop by and drop
trowel with Ace. And we get to do it with everybody. Hopefully, we get like Pam Anderson, some hot chicks. You know, whenever I'm in Los Angeles, I'm always dropping trowel and dropping trowel with it. We get to say drop and trowel all the time, huh? True.
So funny.
That'd be great.
So funny.
Just be awesome.
Ha ha.
Sarah.
Yes.
You're 20.
Yes.
What do you think of Drop and Trowel with Ace Rockola in the mornings?
I don't know.
What's up, Sarah?
Do our listeners, our callers, ever disappoint, Drew?
Never.
Doesn't matter what you say to them. Doesn't matter. What do you think about it? I don't know.
Well, anyway.
What do you think of my idea about my tack crows? You think that's a good idea? Well, I don't know. Has it ever happened where someone, hey, you're right, or I disagree and here's why?
By the way, the strategy is for Ace
yeah.
is God, that's a great idea.
You got to
kiss
ass. You got to kiss ass.
Yeah, but still.
Sarah, what do you think of drop and trial with Ace Rock Cola in the morning?
I don't know. I've never done it.
Oh,
sorry. Okay, baby. All right. Well, as long as we got that
straightened out. They don't disappoint, like you said.
All right. What's happening? You know, the other thing about never disappointing on the shows, even with the whole never disappoint speech, you can come
back.
They
don't disappoint. They do not, no matter what.
I would say our callers stick to their guns, except for they don't really have guns.
Well, thus the reputation for it never disappointing.
That's right. All right, Sarah.
Okay.
Sarah. All right, here we go.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
Now she's gone.
Why?
That's hard. That's cool.
She is never more. How long was she on hold, Drew?
I think it was like 27 minutes.
That's cold.
Not even half an hour. All right, Drew, what do we do? Cassie?
Hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
About 3 weeks ago, I had a guy break in my apartment and try and rape me.
Wow.
Did you?
Was somebody you knew or anything? Or just was a random event?
It was a random event, and they still haven't caught him.
My God.
And what's the deal when you break an apartment to rape somebody? Do you have to rape whoever's in there? You know what I mean? What if you get a fat dude or an old lady or something?
Was he coming in to rob and just raped incidentally? Or what? He came in and announced that he's here to rape? Or what happened?
Yeah, true.
Oh,
actually, you know what I mean?
He had a squire read it from a scroll. He blew a trumpet. The guy yelled, here, he, here. He rang a bell. And then a guy with buckles on his shoes read it from a big, a very ceremonial-looking scroll.
Yeah.
Cassie.
What happened?
Do you think, or did the cops think, that the guy was like, staking out the place, seeing there was a young, attractive girl living there, or something like that?
They said there's a tendency that they do that. So he could have been watching me for God only knows how long.
All right. And do you live alone?
Yes. I'm a full-time high school student living on my own.
Ooh.
Wow. Wow. Well, hold on a second. How'd that happen?
Just a bunch of bad stuff with my family, and I had the means to be able to support myself, so I went ahead and did it. It was just emotionally better for me.
What happened with your family?
Just the fact that my dad wasn't showing up, and my dad and my stepmom were arguing all the time, and my dad was drinking again, and I just couldn't take it anymore.
Where'd you get the money to move out?
My mother died when I was 8, and I get $571 in Social Security money every month.
Wow. Man.
Why'd your mom die?
What happened to my mom?
Yeah.
She got cirrhosis of the liver. She was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Wow. It sounds like a horrible family. How does the $571 come in, though? Like, does your mom have some sort of pension from her
Social
work?
Security.
It's Social Security money. I am still.
Honest. Wait a minute. Why am I. What? Who?
She was, wait. Before your mom became an alcoholic, was she a drug addict?
Yes, she was before I was born.
Yes, there we go. Because that's to have cirrhosis at that age means she had hepatitis C, probably, right?
I guess so.
And then she was disabled from all of this, and that's how she got on Social Security. And then the child keeps it going. You see?
No, my mother, before she was disabled, she wasn't drawing Social Security then.
I know, but she was disabled, and that's why she went under Social Security. That's how Cassie got it.
All right, well, hold on a second. You know, Cassie's got assaulted and has had all these horrible things happen to her. I still understand why she's getting paid. Wouldn't that stop when you're 18, by the way?
Not because I'm a full-time high school student. I get to reapply until I graduate.
As long as she maintains full-time student status.
All right, to me, it's luck. If you're 26 and you're junior in high school, you're out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there's restrictions
So your mom passed away, and then even though you were living with your dad and your stepmom, you were able to get this, were you getting this money all throughout?
Yes, I was, but my dad put it in an account, and he ended up spending it all because he got himself in a debt again.
All right, hold on a second. What do we got to do with this government?
Yeah.
You know, the dad socks the money away that we're giving him the 500 whatever because a junkie mom killed herself. And now this guy just spends it all on booze
Yeah.
or gambling debts or whatever. What the? What's going on?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I'm not, I feel bad for Cassie and everything, but what, how's this work? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
No one else outrage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Cassie.
Yes. Hmm.
So now you're living on your own because your dad's back into the booze, got a horrible stepmom, and a guy broke in, but now what happened?
He tried to write me and didn't accomplish it and left, and I called the cops, and they have absolutely no leads.
So you just woke up and he was on top of you?
Yes.
This is why, did he come in through your bedroom,
bedroom
or another
window.
Part?
Through my bedroom window.
And you didn't hear him coming
you didn't
in?
Hear him come in?
No, I'm a real heavy sleeper because, of course, I grew up in the ghetto in the projects, and there's always sirens at all hours of night. And
had you had other rapes in the past?
No.
Never been raped before.
How did you get him off you?
He got up on his own will. I was so scared. I was afraid if I did anything, he would kill me. So I figured that, you know, as long, you know, let him do what he has to do, it's the only way I could live through it.
Okay, so you froze.
Yes.
Okay, all right, a freeze reaction means previous abuse. That's what that means.
Yeah, what happened in the past?
You're good, you.
My dad used to get violent when he was drunk, but that's all
and
I
that's,
could
and, and eventually that scared you. You learned how to, you sort of got freeze reactions from that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, and this, was the window locked and stuff? Did the guy break something?
Apparently the locks on the window were turned, but they weren't catching where they were supposed to catch.
So he just slid the window open?
Yes.
All right. Well, yeah, you got to put a stick in there, you know?
Well, I'm not in that apartment anymore. They moved me to a second floor apartment.
Good.
Oh, that's good. All right.
But you're obviously...
Well, tell the person who lives under you to put a stick in there, because now they're in the rape unit.
Right.
I'm not sure if they call it rape unit.
I think they moved
I'm not a landlord. I would probably leave rape. I'd just call it, you know, unit G, not rape unit G. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's what you're into.
Yeah.
Maybe keep a stick behind your door, too.
Yeah.
That's not such a bad idea.
All right, so...
under my pillow now.
Cass, you had
a
horrible, horrible life thus far. But the good news is you didn't get raped.
Yes.
And you got $519 bucks a month. And you're going to be graduating high school soon?
Yes, I'm going to be graduating May 22nd.
All right. And then, do you have any friends?
Yes, I do. I have quite a few friends.
After you graduate, you should move out with one of them.
I actually have one of my friends is moving into the apartment I'm living in now.
A male or female?
After graduation, because right now he lives about 50 miles away in
Oh. She dropped the F word on there.
Yeah. And, but by the way, he moving in with her is going to be a bad guy.
Yeah.
She's going to select a bad guy to move in with her.
Let me give this tip to everybody. Beside locking their windows, put the little barrel bolt on the door, especially as a young lady, because you will wake up with drunken roommate dudes standing over the bed at some point in the relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or we've always heard these stories of the guy. You know, I woke up, the guy was standing at the foot of the bed. Shadowy figure that broke in through the kitchen window kind of thing.
Right.
Put that little barrel bolt on the door. It works good.
Or not even those little ones that flip. What are those? It's like a little hinge.
Yeah, that one.
That's okay, too. Just
anything. Those things are always a mess, though.
Yeah.
Whatever you want. I mean, here's the deal. It's not going to stop, the
Hulk.
Crazed junkie from kicking the thing in. But it's definitely, you're not going to wake up and have someone standing at the foot of your bed. It's, you know, $3 at the True Value Hardware store. But that little lock. How come no one talks about this? I'm the only guy who's ever thought of this. Lock the goddamn door. Plus, you can beat off with peace of mind. You understand? Never
now, now, you, so- now you've just swayed the whole male population to this idea.
I squeezed one off with my maid over the other day. And that's, you know, that's confidence.
That's with the VCR going.
That's pride and confidence. Yeah, but that's mainly confidence. You know, it's, I know this is pathetic, but when the maid, you know, I squeezed one off with the maid over. And again, if the door wasn't locked, it couldn't be done. It
would have been a disaster.
Potential disaster. The point is.
Well, you would have taken forever because you're worrying about it. Then it would have been a disaster.
No. She wouldn't have barged in on me, but I couldn't have focused. Right. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
See, I like that element of danger of see. She might walk in, so I'll leave the door unlocked permanently.
What's the criteria for sex addict?
I'm hoping she'll walk in.
Oh, are you kidding? Oh, are you kidding, Edison? I've been telling Adam he's a chronic masturbator and sexually addicted for years, and he will not discuss it with his therapist.
I got one off.
Think about
this
that.
Week. One this week. That's nothing.
He will not discuss it with his therapist, Anderson.
Why?
Maybe, what do
why
you think?
Humiliate the man.
Why don't you pay your therapist to listen to the show? Maybe they can get some progress.
Oh.
Why don't I pay you to run the show and not talk on it?
You don't pay me.
That's why I said, why don't I? All right, shut up, Anderson. One beat this week does not a sex addict make, Drew. How dare you?
Yeah.
Here's the problem, though. I'll tell you the real problem. Clean up. That's the real problem, because the hamper's empty because she's taking it downstairs into the basement there, and I got nothing. And I, you know,
no
give myself,
socks.
I got the sock, but what do I do with it now? Now it's the lone crusty sock that's sitting on the. You know,
this may be shocking to you, but how about toilet paper?
Paper towel.
Or bypass the paper, go directly into the toilet.
Oh, oh man, that. No, that means getting up. ruin the moment.
Oh, I do it on my knees.
That's movement.
Paper towel, man, lay it right on the
paper
towel.
You
nice,
and Shannon
yeah.
are one of a kind. Have two, you know, one mind here. You could both give the universal sign when you're talking about it.
Shannon,
you feel like I'm bass playing, just stand in the corner.
Yeah, it's good to be versatile. It's good to be able to do it. The kneel in front of the toilet. It's good standing in the shower on the bed. You know, you
and
never
it's
know.
Good to have
I'll
that
do it.
Too,
I squeeze
huh?
one off jogging in place every once in a while, just to keep the edge. You know what I mean?
You, never you ever know. Get one off in traffic?
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's happened.
Mulholland in a stick shift. He said once.
Yeah, that's why I'll use the driving simulator for it. I'll train constantly. You know what I mean?
There you go.
The old one knee.
I stay ready. I stay ready so I don't have to get ready. You see what I'm saying, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You might, yeah.
See, because, Drew, when that terrorist attack hits and you got to beat off and you're not ready, yeah, don't come crying to me. Don't come crying to me. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I'm beating off in the car. I'm in the shower. I'm on the run. I'm boarding up windows and beating off. I'm on the move.
Yeah, just bring that up with your therapist. Just touch on it. Just
mention it. True.
Just bring it up. Sorry, no big deal. No big deal.
Sure, once a week.
No problem.
I got one this week. One or two this week. We got to move forward, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
This show's not about us.
Yeah, no
it's
doubt.
About the idiots that call the show. All right? Leanna?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah. First of all, I just want to tell you that I love you guys, and I fall asleep to you guys every single day, every single night. And
Thank you.
I just love you guys.
Thanks, man.
Okay. So I met this guy 2 years ago at camp, and, you know, we've kept in touch throughout the year, and we talk on the phone almost every night.
Hang on. 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So you didn't see him this last summer?
No. I met him 2 years ago, but I saw him last summer.
At camp.
And the last time I saw him was Valentine's Day. We got together for that.
Where does he live?
Oh, he lives in Vermont.
Woo, and you're in Chicago?
Yeah.
What kind of camp were you guys at?
It was like a Zionist camp kind of thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's anyway, a Jew camp?
So,
haven't the Jews had enough trouble with the camps? You know what I mean? Like, seemed like that's something they would want to avoid. Hey, it's back to the camps, Moisha. Yeah. Let me give the camps a break for a couple more years. We get a little bad taste in our mouth about the camp. You know what I mean? It's funny. Jewish camps are big. It's big business, and you just think, really? That would just. It's like blacks. We want to get you on these party ships where we chain you together, put you in the hall, and sail you. You know what I mean? This is something like we gotta pick some cotton there, buddy. Got cotton picking camp. Come on, blacks. Come on. Like, doesn't it seem like camp? Just I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's just me. I'm very sensitive to the plight of all men.
Yes,
especially
I've always
especially
thought
my own. Yeah. I just every time I hear the Jewish camp thing, I picture the Trump pulling in.
Yeah. All right, Leanne. So what's the deal?
Okay. Well, so we talk really often, and so when I saw him at Valentine, like I completely fell in love with him, and I really thought that he felt the same way. You know, he told me that he loved me, and I was positive that he did. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I knew that he was like a flirty kind of guy. But then when I saw him at Valentine's Day, it was at like a convention, And he was, you know, he was flirting with all the other girls, and I didn't really think.
What kind of convention was it at?
What do you mean?
Well, you said it was at a convention.
Oh, yeah. Well, the camp is run by, like, a youth group. Mm-hmm. So the youth group has conventions and, like, activities throughout the year also.
Oh. All right.
So it was just one of those.
So you saw him at a convention, and now he didn't seem to pay attention to you?
Well, kind of. I mean, like, since...
Or is it he had other girls taking his attention?
No. He was flirty, but it was like a joke. Like, he was like, oh, I'm just kidding, and, you know, I like you the best, and if I tell the girls that I love them, I'm just... Like, I love them like friends, and I love you for real. And then,
Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
The guy lives in Vermont, right?
Yeah.
Do they allow Jews in Vermont now, do you know?
Camps.
Okay. Leanna?
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's in Vermont. You're 16. You're in Chicago.
I think you just
find a nice guy in Chicago,
well,
right?
See, the thing is that I'm so close with him that I feel weird when I'm with other guys. Like, I mean, I still flirt with other guys, but I've never really had a real boyfriend. And I think
Are you still talking to this guy every night?
Well, not every night, but at least two or three times a week. And the thing is, since the convention, like, I've only spoken to him, like, twice since Valentine's Day, really, and he keeps on making up excuses, like, oh, I forgot to call you.
All right, he's reeling it in.
Do you think I'm just reading too much into it, or is he just being, like,
no,
a teenager?
No, you're not reading enough into it.
It's
over.
Yeah.
You think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, baby doll.
Oh.
I know it's sad.
Yeah.
But it needs to happen. Here's the thing.
You were 14 when you met him.
You're Jewish, right?
Yeah.
All right. So that means you're smart. I hate to say it, but the Jews are really a superior, intellectually, they're superior to the rest of us.
Okay.
They just are. They're smarter. Let's face it. All right. Now, so you can understand, more so than our normal 16-year-old, Goyim would call the show, that this is over. And even though you're going to feel some pain, it's for the best. Because he lives too far away, and this thing would come to an end soon anyway, and you're just drawing it out. Better just to get a clean break here. Save some face. Don't call him.
Leanna, the idea that being in love is going to sustain is fantasy. How many married couples do you know met when they were 14? Zero.
That's right.
Zero.
Because
if they met when they were 14 and got married, they got divorced very quickly.
Right. 15 or 16.
That's right. By 17.
Right.
Or the fact that people had girlfriends, boyfriends when they were teenagers.
Yeah.
They concluded, and then they fled.
But this is good. This is what you're supposed to do.
It's a mitzvah.
You're supposed to meet some guy. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. You're supposed to meet him at the old bowling alley. The old bowling alley. Hang out for a little while, and then move on. That's good. And as far as he goes, his head should grow in the ground like an onion.
Yes.
Yes, Drew?
Yes.
And his teeth should fall out. And in its place,
hair
should grow. All right, so we just put some good Jewish poxes on him for screwing with you. Godsmack is here. They know nothing about Judaism, by the way. I'm like an honorary Jew. I'm in. Yeah. I mean, Drew's half Jewish, so he's hip. My step-grandpa was Jewish. So
and
I
Adam's a comedian, so you have to pretend you're Jewish.
Right. Otherwise, they kick you out of show business because that's what those people control. Yes, Drew? Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear something from Godsmack.
Great.
All that after this. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. Sully and Shannon here tonight from Godsmack. Guess how many records Godsmack has sold over the years, Drew?
5 million.
10 million.
Wow. Oh, that's not true.
Millions.
Where's my money? That's not true.
CDs. That's worldwide. That's worldwide. That means LA and parts of Canada. That's the whole world. You know, understand?
Yeah.
10 million CDs. Let's talk to Alex, who's 19. Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's happening?
Not much. So, have a band, and we've been playing together for 4 or 5 months, and we're still nameless.
Who cares?
That's right, who cares? But anyway,
we're nameless?
Trying to come up with a name.
Yeah.
And I suggested Drop Trow, and they thought it was hilarious.
That's a good band name, yeah, Drop Trow.
Yeah, so the screener's like, you gotta call it Dropping Trow, but I don't know, Drop Trow sounds kind of a... comes a little better.
Well, I just signed a band called Dropbox.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just started a record label called Realign Records off of Universal, and they're called Dropbox.
Wow. Maybe we could get them on a double bill with Drop and Trap.
Maybe even a 7-inch split, you know? Dropbox, Drop Trap, the split.
Yeah. What's he talking about?
It's a 7-inch single that two bands already.
Oh, they'll split it. Right. Wow. True. Cool. Come on, get hip. What do you buy? I can tell you everything.
7-inch split, you know what that was?
That's a good name for a band.
7-inch split.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, speaking of bands.
Yeah.
Aren't we going to listen to a song?
No.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex.
Yeah.
Thanks there, buddy. Yeah, I like Drop Trow. Dropping Trow. I don't know. Who do you guys like?
Drop Trow.
Okay.
Or DT.
Oh, yeah.
You can abbreviate it if you think it's
that's good.
DT. Yeah, DT.
Yeah, Dropping Trow rocks.
So how'd you get your name?
Yeah. And then when they say, like, they're
you got to think of the big arena chant. Drop Trow. Drop, you know, if it's dropping trow, it kind of ruins the vibe.
Right, you're right. Drop, the lighters stuff, then the lights go down and the place goes nuts. And yeah,
two syllables is always good.
Yeah, yeah. And then and he comes on and he yells,
he drops trow.
I hear Chicago knows how to rock, but he hits rock really hard and everyone goes nuts and more drop trow. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's see. All right, Drew. Come on, buddy. You know what? You're jealous.
Am I? Of what?
Of whatever I got.
Okay. Yeah, dude, yeah.
All right. It takes big man to admit it. Let's hear a little something from Godsmack. Is that yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I got their second song written down here. What did I do with it, Drew? Did I put something on it? Ah, here it is. This baby is called Realign. That's Godsmack. The Other Side, name of the CD, coming out in a couple of weeks, and you're listening to Drop and Trown's Morning with Ace Rock, Cola, Godsmack. Who'd have stopped by the Drop and Trown studio? Drew, what are you doing?
Drop and Trown Studios. That's funny.
All right, let's... very nice sound, by the way, the acoustic sound.
Thank you.
Thanks. We will... are you going to do anything acoustic with the...
Not in front of a Metallica crowd.
Oh, yeah. That's smart.
How
smart.
Dare you.
Yeah.
That's like committing suicide on stage.
That's a good point. It's a good point. All right. Carl?
Yeah. Hey.
Hey. What's going on over there?
Oh, sorry. I just listened to Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Sorry.
what are you listening to?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Tears.
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
And When I Die, that's one of my favorite songs.
Smooth.
And When I Die.
We know what that song is.
Oh.
I've played it on this show a few times. I was getting into trouble. What's happening?
My friend, who wants to be one of my, one of the, wants to be my girlfriend, and the problem is that I weigh a lot, and I weigh about 280, and I'm 5'10".
You're fat.
Yeah.
Drew, please. You know.
And it runs in my family as an overweight and drinking. And I was wondering what I can do to keep it off, or to either have surgery or to just.
Well, you want to get it off, and then
you're overweight.
True, we understand.
Have you tried dieting?
Yes, and it doesn't work because the family, they have food, unhealthy food around the house all the time.
You guys should turn him on to the Atkinson's diet.
Yeah, Atkins.
Atkins, yeah.
Yeah, what about
the Atkinson? That's why I used to live in New Hampshire.
Did the Atkins guy die from his own diet?
No. No, he just...
I'll tell you why that I thought of that. My mom's a nurse as well, and she has some friends that were flight attendants that were overweight, and they did it. And they and I met one guy that was actually a video editor that when I met him, he was, you know, he's 6'1" or whatever, and he was fairly normal sized then. And he told me, he's like, oh, man, you should have seen me 2 years ago. I was like 260. And I'm like, really?
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he didn't do it. He went on it because it's a short-term diet. I mean,
right, because you will gain the weight back if you try to eat normally after that. So it's a reasonable way to lose weight, but ultimately you have to get on a calorie-restricted balanced diet.
Yeah, well, this is a completely bogus call, and I just want to say hi to you guys.
All right. Well...
All right. Whatever.
All right. I hope something bad happens to him now.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
But I do kind of like a guy who just says it's a bogus call. Yeah. And I like the guy who gets tired of his own bogus call. Yeah. I like that guy. Like halfway into it, loses interest. We have those guys every once in a while. Like, huh? So you want to lose weight? Oh, yeah. I'm bored now. I like that. All right.
Somehow that was supposed to have been funny.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing too, by the way. If you're gonna here's the object of a bogus call, is to figure out something that's very far fetched and get us to buy it.
Yeah,
you calling up and saying, hey, I'm heavy, I'd like to lose some weight is not really much of a stretch.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it you know what I mean? It's you can call 911 and tell them there's a body on your front lawn and the cops will show up. You know, that's not a prank call. The idea is to get an exterminator to agree to come over and exterminate your morbidly obese wife because she has ants. That's a prank call. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And should have known it was bogus, by the way, because I was going to get to the thing I was going to start questioning him on is the part where a girl said, lose the weight and I'll have sex with you or I'll be your girlfriend.
That never happened.
There's no installment plan for lard asses, but that's not how it works. A chick, like it said, the question said, you know, popular pretty girl agrees to. Yeah, it's not like the fat ass shows up and goes, hey, at 6 months when I'm down 60 pounds, I can nail you, right? Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure. I'm going to need that in writing, though. Okay, I had some papers drafted up. Could you just put your signature there?
Hmm.
All right, let's talk to...
he may get fatter now for lying.
It's
It's the Pinocchio syndrome.
That's right. Just his penis gets smaller and his gut gets bigger. Jeff?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Uh-huh.
Your fiance wants a boob job.
Yeah, she wants to get enlargements, and I don't think it's a good idea. It just don't sound...
I've never liked the idea of it. Just not healthy. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I say whatever makes you happy when you look in the mirror, man. You know, if she is really unhappy with her own body, and
but I mean, yeah, it's just her parents don't want her to do it neither. She don't live with them anymore, but they don't like the idea, and I don't think it's.
How old is she?
20.
20. And
a little young to be getting that kind of stuff.
Is there something wrong with her chest?
It's a C. I mean, it's not real.
Oh, man.
Tiny.
It's awesome. Well,
most women are trying to get to a C when they have implants.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, even the ones that are past a C are trying to come down to a C.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's bizarre that she's interested.
Well, I mean, if she has some sort of shape problem, maybe that's something we could talk about.
Halfway fag. She wants to get. She's not wanting to get them larger. She's wanting to make them raise.
All right. Well, that's another issue, by the way, that you could have brought up half hour ago, Jeff. All right.
I wouldn't care the difference.
Well, what I'm saying is if you say, hey, I got a 20-year-old girlfriend, she's hot, she's a C-cup, and she wants to get a boob job, it's like, no.
Yeah.
If you say, well, she's got a kid, and she's got a little shape problem, and she's not feeling too good about herself in a bikini, that's another story.
Yeah.
Has she had any kids?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, if the shape is truly not aesthetically pleasing, then I think it's kind of a viable option.
Well, yeah, I want to ask Drew, like, how does that work with raising them? Do they put silicone in, or what do they do for...
Usually, my understanding is they don't put silicone in, but they put implants in.
Do they put implants to make the shape to make them, like, raise up, or...
Yeah, I've had this discussion many times, and first... Dr. Marcel said he's the resident plastic surgeon, you know, because he's got the year-round tan and the pinky ring and the Italian horn and a high medallion hanging from his neck. But first he said, no, it's a boob implant. And then later on he said, yeah, sure, they do. They do lifts. They suck up that skin up there. Either way, it's a surgical procedure. Just go in and consult with somebody, see what they say.
Yeah, somebody who's got a board certification, plastics or cosmetic surgery.
And look, you're 19.
Yeah.
You don't need to get married, screwball, at 19. Yeah. No excuse for it.
Right, and nor does she need to get surgery at 20. It's a little young for that.
It is, but if there's some kind of major shape problem, well, you can consult somebody.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. My song, Drew.
There you are.
Picture the Ace Man walking in slow motion, entering the bar. All heads turn to see this handsome, strutting man. Is
this song playing in his head?
Jacket slung over the shoulder, leather, walking in slow motion, sliding the sunglasses down. Hot chicks looking over their shoulder.
Hot chicks looking over the shoulder, and then they hear in their heads
what?
The following.
No, they hear the song I was hearing.
No, they hear this one.
No.
Because this is what they're seeing. This is what they're seeing, the hot chicks. When they see you walking in with that members-only jacket slung over your shoulder.
Yeah. Some guys at the pool table looking scared, you know what I mean? Like, oh, man, hope he doesn't come this way and kick my ass. Yeah, slow motion walk.
Hey, Adam, ask Godsmack.
Never gets old.
How
Never
they got
old.
Their name.
I know how they got their name.
How?
They got their name from a song from the Soundgarden.
Where'd you get your name, guys?
Close.
Oh, our name.
Yeah.
Yeah, close. It's we were
not even close.
Yeah.
I don't know. Where when we said that somewhere.
When we first started the band, we were doing a photo shoot one day that we had set up ourselves. We weren't signed yet, so we were paying for it. And the drummer came in a rehearsal that day, and he had a huge coal sore on his lip. And me being the wise guy that I am, I was just ranking on him all day, telling him he shouldn't be kissing other men and blah, blah, blah. And he didn't say anything, you know. He just kind of took it like a man. And then the next day I came to rehearsal and I had this huge coal sore on my lip in the same spot. And my guitar player said, see, God just smacked you for making fun of him.
Oh, so, okay.
It was kind of redefined as like instant karma, you know.
But initially it was Alice in Chains that had a song that inspired,
I see. Because it says here the band is named after an Alice in Chains. I knew it was one of those Portland.
Yeah, we just kind of redefined it. You know, you make fun of someone for their hair falling out and your hair starts falling out.
Yeah.
That's a Godsmack.
No, that's why I never have a negative thing to say about anybody.
No, you never do.
Except for the tards to call the show.
Except for that.
All right. Let's let's call, I mean, let's talk to Sherry, who's 22. Sherry?
Hey.
What's happening, baby doll?
Not much. Hi.
What's your question? Yeah.
Okay, I need help.
All right.
All right, I have three guys that like me, and they are all sweet, and they all have good morals, good goals, everything.
Did she all, so they're all clean?
Sweet. What was that?
Sweet. They're all sweet.
How do you know these guys?
How do I know them? Well, I go to school with them.
Okay.
Right. And by the way, you can say I go to school with them before you repeat. How do I know them?
Yeah. Is there, out with outrage. How dare? How do I know them? you go to school with them, and do you date each of them?
No, I'm not dating them. Dating anyone.
The have they asked you out?
Well, two of them have. I haven't gave them answers, and they all three know each other.
Oh, you're breaking my heart. Who cares? Everyone's attracted to me.
I see that coming one paragraph ago.
Two of them asked me out. The third one wants to ask me out. Who cares?
She wants to know how to pick. Well, one is self-selected. Pick one you feel good about.
Just go find the
one
you like. Yeah. How the hell are we supposed to know who the one you're supposed to go out with? The one with the biggest sack.
Oh, man. Take another call. Maybe third time's the charm.
Oh, who cares? We got people with real problems. Amanda?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
And by the way, how do you have, like, you know, picture yourself seeing three chicks and not knowing which one you were most attracted to?
Again, difference between men and women.
That's right.
Really? Because, yeah, I would know.
It'll take all three.
Well, my penis, like a divining rod, it will find.
It goes.
It goes, in the direction. Vagina, dude, yeah.
Bonesy, bonesy.
Mm-hmm. All right, where were we? Amanda?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Yeah. Okay.
I
have, like, a big problem. Okay, I have, like, really big boobs.
Bonesy, bonesy.
Now we're talking. That's right.
Okay, it, like, really is a problem. Like, I was just wondering, is there, like, any way I can get, like, a boob reduction?
Well, what are your dimensions?
I'm 38 double B.
Oh, my God.
Well, you're fat.
Well, Drew,
no,
please.
I'm
hold
not.
On.
I'm not.
How tall? Hold on. How tall are you?
I'm about 5'6".
And how much do you weigh?
About 110 pounds.
You're fat.
No. Oh, my God. No. Have double Ds and you're 110, 5.
Hold on. It could it does happen once in a while.
Then you are a beautiful freak of nature.
Did she say 5'6"?
Six. 5'6",
110. That's pixie. And then,
man.
38 double D. But
38 part.
Shannon wins. No, 38. 38. Where does the... Amanda.
Yeah?
Where does the 38 part come from? Because how do you get 110 pounds and 5'6"? At 38, I mean, you must have no back.
Or a huge back.
I just, like... They're just really big. I know,
but how do you know you're 38?
Huh?
How do you know you're 38?
Well, because, like, you know, you go to the store and you buy them. It says 38.
Your bra says 38 double D.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is good. And you want to get a reduction.
Yeah, well, or is there anything I can do to, like, help it? There's just... There.
Someday you may see this as an asset, not a problem.
I already do.
Well,
man, that's tough.
It's like really bad. Like everyone I talk to, it seems like they're just like staring at. It's really bad. It's like
Yes, that's how the guys are. They just do that, and the girls start to think that something. They're sort of nervous around you or treat you differently.
Yeah. You're calling from Alaska, though, right?
Yeah.
Don't you guys just wear those like sealskin ponchos?
No.
Really?
We just came from Alaska, too. They have that real natural prehistoric air up there. Like, they haven't screwed it up there yet.
Really? I was going to go, but my mom decided to ground me, so.
Going to go.
Oh, you're going to see Godsmack?
Yeah, I really like you guys. You guys rock.
Yeah.
Why did she ground you?
She didn't want this double D's getting near the band.
Why did she ground you?
That's a long story.
Okay.
All right.
So here's the thing. You're 15, probably too young for a surgery.
Yes.
Plus, they don't have doctors in Alaska. They just have shaman.
But just relax. This I like understand people
guys
are treating
you smoke. Treating you sit there and heck at you. They just yell, right? Big moon face guys with seal fur hanging over their hood, you know, and they just sitting in one of those sweat teepees that Sully was in, and they just sit there, and you want a boob reduction. They start arranging rocks and stuff, looking down, blowing smoke. Yes?
Literally.
That's what I meant.
And Amanda, this, again, relax. This is something that may end up being okay. I understand people are treating you differently all of a sudden, but yeah. that will get back to
different good.
Yeah.
You're captain of the girls' football team.
Yeah.
That's the way you got to look at it. All right. You go consult with a plastic surgeon in a couple of years.
Yeah.
All right. And this is a mitzvah.
Another mitzvah, yes.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. That's the show. What do you know? Big Fat Week. Dead and Gone. The Other Side, name of the CD, coming out from Godsmack in just about a week and a half. I want to thank Shannon and Sully for coming in here. Always a delight.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, man.
I want to also give some props to phone screener Brian for doing a fantastic job all week. Engineer Chris over here at the Mother Station. Junior producer Lauren for doing a fantabulous job. Ooh. Telling us Godsmack was never on the radio show before and swearing by it. And producer Ann for booking great bands all week. Ooh. And of course the magic fingered one, the Liberace of the potentiometers, engineer Anderson. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
You guys should turn him on to the Atkinson's diet.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.